Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the Film for Thought podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and this is a podcast where I want to discuss films, TV, and many more. I hope you'll be patient with me as this is my first ever podcast experience. I'm sure I'll be terrible at first, but I'm sure as we go on a bit, I'll get better and better, so just try to be patient. Look, as we're currently in a pandemic and theatres are no longer open for new movies to be reviewed, I thought we could start with a little get to know you with my taste in movies. So because, I don't know about you guys, but I love getting to know somebody by the types of films they love. And I just love having conversations about movies in general. So movies are one of my biggest passions along with music, sports and gaming. And I literally spend hours upon hours upon hours discussing with my friends and family and sometimes even complete strangers. Going to the movie theater is literally probably my favorite thing in the world. So this is my personal top 10 list and honorable mentions. There were probably 50 movies I could have put on this list, but I'm pretty confident with the choices I have. And every film that's discussed today, I'll be reviewing upon upcoming episodes. So if you're interested in that, please stick around. So if you want to hear some random dude sitting at his kitchen table talking movies in front of an iPhone, then please enjoy and thank you very much. Alright, so my honourable mentions are, and again, I probably could have had 50 different movies for this, but first honourable mention is Moneyball, 2011, great movie with Brad Pitt about the Oakland A baseball team and how they sort of went against the system and they used mathematics as a way to win games and to, you know, essentially try to change baseball. Fantastic performance from Jonah Hill and Brad Pitt. Philip Seymour Hoffman's fantastic as the coach in it. It's just, yeah, couldn't talk highly enough. Shawshank Redemption, I mean, do we even need to discuss that? Literally, you know, probably should be on the top 10 list, to be honest, but I just, these other films just sort of sit with me a bit better. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, amazing Jack Nicholson performance, amazing story. You know, the nurse is just, you know, one of the great performances too. Rounders, big Matt Damon fan, big Edward Norton fan, big poker fan, so that had to be an honourable mention for myself. Pulp Fiction, again, I love Tarantino, could have put this could have been number one on a lot of people's lists than that, but unfortunately it just can't beat these other 10 for me. Martin Scorsese's The Departed, another fantastic film from him. I mean, a lot of people sort of hate on The Departed, that's the movie that he won his Oscar for, but I think The Departed's amazing, so I'm happy to have it on my list as an honorable mention. American Beauty, I don't even remember the first time I saw American Beauty because I've seen it that many times now, but yeah, it had to be on the honorable mentions. 2001 A Space Odyssey, I remember watching that movie, the first half of it, there was literally no plot, it was all visual and stuff like that, and you didn't really know what was going on, and then after the intermission, you sort of kick into it and then you start to understand the story. And yeah, incredible science fiction. Really is. I see why so many people have it on their lists now. Tropic Thunder. A movie that I've probably seen 1,200 times and I can literally quote pages and pages and pages of dialogue from. Again, great performances, fantastic action, so funny. I mean, yeah. Probably one of the most obscure performances ever with Robert Downey Jr. in blackface. So I don't think you could get away with that in 2020. And my last honorable mention is, again, just missed out on this list, but Point Break. I remember my mum got me Point Break for my 10th birthday, I think it was, and I've watched it that many times now, the disc is starting to wear out. So yeah, I think I'm gonna have to get a new copy soon. So those are the movies that I just couldn't quite put on my 10, but again, I wanted to talk about, and I'll review every one of these movies that I've just mentioned in that. So yeah, so let's get into it anyway. So number 10, I have The Social Network, David Fincher directed, Aaron Sorkin written, and I believe Aaron Sorkin won his Academy Award for this movie. Just fantastic performances, fantastic dialogue, incredible directing, and there's never a minute in it where you're sort of getting bored or anything like that. You're always just sort of, I don't know, it's just so engaging. And the I think it's really comes down to the performances and the dialogue more than anything. I just think you just get so hooked on it with these characters and what they're saying. And I love the way it sort of does the flashbacks and the way it is with them in the courtrooms. And yeah, fantastic. Number 9, No Country for Old Men. One of the most fucked up, twisted characters of all time that Javier Bardem plays. And literally, it's a game of cat and mouse, and you're just on the edge of your seat the entire time. And I love that there's no score or anything like that, and it just feels so almost like gritty, and yeah, I couldn't speak highly enough of it. Number 8, we have Casablanca, or Casablanca, whatever you want to call it. Again, Humphrey Bogart, just a fantastic dialogue, fantastic story, great scope, and just, you know, it's the kind of place that you want to go to when you're at that club. And I love the ending. I love that it's such a sad story, but it's such a beautiful story at the same time. And yeah, one of my absolute favorites. Number 7, we have The Wolf of Wall Street. Now, how Leonardo DiCaprio did not win his Academy Award for this movie, I just don't understand. I know everybody goes on about Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club, but I'm sorry. Like, nobody will ever be talking about Matthew McConaughey over Leonardo DiCaprio. And I don't think that he deserved to win the Oscar, to be honest. Just a fan, one of these movies that literally I watch probably 3 or 4 times a year. I can watch it from any point where it is, whether it's beginning, middle, or end. I just love this movie so much. Probably Scorsese's second best. We'll get to his best in a minute. Number 6, I have what I believe to be the greatest superhero film of all time, and that's The Dark Knight. And I'm not even the biggest superhero fan, but The Dark Knight is just so perfect to me, and probably my personal favourite performance of all time, with Heath Ledger as the Joker. Just incredible. The action, the scope, the feelings that you get through it, you know, the bits where, you know, the Joker has, you know, he's gotten Harvey Dent kidnapped and Rachel kidnapped, and Batman's got to go and, yeah, just, I can't talk highly enough of it. I'll review that one, and I'm looking forward to reviewing that one in depth. Number 5, Tarantino classic, Inglourious Basterds. I remember watching this movie the first time, and that opening scene alone, where Hans Landa's talking with the dairy farmer, and it's just so intense, you're just on the edge of your seat the entire time. You could literally cut the tension with a knife in that opening scene, and the ending is just fantastic. I know it's not realistic, but it's just brilliant. Love it. Number 4, we have another Tarantino film, Reservoir Dogs. I could have put probably every one of Tarantino's films on this list, and it would be justified in my opinion. But Reservoir Dogs, I just love the simplicity of it. I love the dialogue. I just love how, you know, it just keeps going along. It never sort of slows down. It just keeps you going along. And, you know, the opening scene in the restaurant, for example, where they're talking about Madonna's Like a Virgin and, you know, big dicks and all that. It's just hilarious. And, you know, one of the more underrated performances too, I think, with Steve Buscemi as Mr. Pink. I love Steve Buscemi as Mr. Pink. Steals the entire movie for me. Number 3, a lot of people would have this as their number 1 film, but for me, it's just number 3. Well, these last 3, to be honest, you could flip a coin, and any one of these 3 on any given day could be my favourite film. But number 3, I've gone with The Godfather. I remember watching The Godfather for the very first time, and I remember hearing all the hype about it for years and years and years, and everybody saying how amazing it was and how blah, 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 and I'm like, oh, okay, okay. And then I remember just one rainy Saturday afternoon, just sitting down and watching it and just literally being blown away by it. And every time I watch The Godfather, I find something else in there that I didn't quite figure out, or I didn't quite understand, or something else that I've taken out of it. And it's just, to be honest, it's one of the few movies that lives up to the hype of being arguably the greatest movie of all time. And I would say easily Coppola's best. And a lot of people say Godfather 1 or Godfather 2. I'm personally Godfather 1, as much as I love The Godfather 2. Now, number 2, a lot of people would say, how can you have this film over The Godfather? But I don't care, I love it, and that's Goodfellas. Goodfellas, to me, is Scorsese's best. To me, it's the best crime movie of all time, and I just love everything about it. you know, there's parts of it where you're laughing, there's parts of it where you're sad, there's parts of it where you're like, oh shit, you know, there's, it's just, it's one of those films that you just sort of, it just surprises you as you keep going along with it and that. And you know, one of the one of the most hilarious and scary performances of all time with Joe Pesci. Yeah, I just can't talk highly enough about it. Robert De Niro, fantastic. Ray Liotta, fantastic. I just can't speak highly enough of it, to be honest. And my number one favourite film of all time is, well, a lot of people say this shouldn't count, but I count it as one movie, and that's the Lord of the Rings trilogy. They were all filmed back to back to back. So for me, it counts as one movie, and I can't pick one of them as my favourite. I love all of them. I love everything from the heart that you feel, everything from the action. You know, there are parts of it where you're crying, there's parts of it where you're laughing. I just think they're the perfect films. And a lot of people don't like how many endings there are towards the end of Return of the King, but for me, I'm just so invested with these characters after 3 years that I want to see more of them. I want to see what happens with them. That the ending doesn't really feel dragged out to me. I love the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and it's probably, yeah, I would say my favourite film of all time. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to enjoy and listen. Please feel free to leave any criticisms or things that you think I can do better at, things you enjoyed in the comments and ratings. You know, I'll be doing an episode every single week, at least every single week, and I promise that I'll get better as we go along. I apologise if the audio is not that flash. I am just using an iPhone. But I'm just trying to get my voice out there and trying to get my voice heard. It's something I love and something I'm really passionate about. So if you know, want to join me in this little crazy adventure that we're about to have, then please do. But, you know, if it's not your cup of tea, no hard feelings. But enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you next week where I review the Lord of the Rings trilogy. So